Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Little ZZ Top bringing us back, that little band from Texas. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and I'm Jim Blasingame. I think I said that. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. We got lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Don't forget to take our poll question. Every week we ask a different question. We want to know what you think. So when you click your answer, you'll see how the poll is going so far. Having a great visit with our good friend Stephen Baum. Stephen H. Baum is the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch, and we're talking about some of the things he's learned in as a Vistage leader, as a CEO coach for some pretty from folks, you know, small businesses to medium businesses, maybe even some large businesses. He's got his ear to the ground and finger on the pulse of what executives are thinking out there. And in the previous segment, Stephen, you reminded us that one of the things your folks are doing is they're not letting costs creep up. They're holding on to those hard-fought efficiencies that they acquired that allowed them, that gave them the ability to survive the Great Recession. That's one really important thing, and I think we're seeing that. I think that's one of the reasons and it's one of the reasons why, Stephen, I said that this economy, this recovery, is going to be called an M recovery, a marathon recovery. It's not going to be a sprint. It's going to be a long, deliberate race. What do you think?
Absolutely right. They're not going to add back fat. In fact, they're going to add back capacity selectively. So they're right. Adding meat, but they're not adding fat, and it's not going to go back to allowing fat if these men and women have their way. They're watching all the expenditures. I have one client who's pressing the company to come and propose capital expenditures and operating cost investments where they can gain significant competitive advantage. But if it doesn't do that, there's not a nickel that will be spent that's not already in the budget.
But one of the things that they are doing, you're telling us, is that you've told me, is that they are looking for opportunities, and so they've got to look for those opportunities through that same efficiency prism, don't they?
Well, through the same prism of risk and reward. And I keep asking each of these people, what's the job of the owner? What can the owner do that nobody else can do? What should you be thinking about that other people aren't going to think about? And one of the answers to that is understanding which kinds of growth opportunities make sense for the company, mm-hmm. and then making sure people are looking for them, finding them, bringing them to the table.
Well, and that top line perspective, not necessarily the hunting and the gathering of those opportunities, but the ordering, the christening, causing people to go out and look for those things. That's the job of the executive, the top executive, whether it be a tiny small business with three employees or somebody who's already publicly traded. The chief executive, the person on top, that's their responsibility, isn't it?
Absolutely. One of my clients owns three or four restaurants, and he's now at the letter of intent stage with several opportunities to extend his brand with much bigger and more famous companies and entertainment destinations. Hmm. But he's sticking to his guns and ready to walk away from any deal that isn't really advantage financially for him. He's not just going to go after any deal.
He's not letting his ego get out of hand, is he?
Not at all. And he's figured out that he can do one of those this year. He can't do two, so he's going to make sure that he negotiates it down to where it's really a good deal.
Is it safe to say, Stephen, that if you're working on a deal and any element of the deal starts to feel seductive, that it might start being that might be the tip off that it's not a good deal for you?
Well, he's got he knows in advance what his bottom line's got to be. He's worked out the numbers ahead of time, and no matter how attractive and seductive mm-hmm. it is to work with one of these big brand entertainment companies, he's not about to do it if it doesn't make financial sense.
Right. very selective in growth opportunities. And the reason why people who today who are still in business today, Stephen, and this, let me tell you something, Stephen, this where we stand right now is a point in time that I don't remember in my lifetime where the only people who are still in business are the ones who have learned how to operate efficiently. We've come through a gauntlet that's unlike any gauntlet in my career, Stephen. And so with those efficiencies, we now have the ability to be selective about opportunities, because we don't have to grow if we don't want to.
Well, you know, in the past, some companies had to lay people off during tough times because they had hired too many in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hadn't figured out how to do more with less. These men and women have figured out how to do more with less, and they're not going to go back to the old way of doing things.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
In fact, one of the growth opportunities that I see them focusing on is very selective upgrading of the bench.
Yeah.
They're looking at their business, they're deciding how it has to change, and they're going after that one person or two people who bring something really special to the team, and they're paying the freight on them.
Right.
Which they weren't willing to
do. They're on a treasure hunt, aren't they?
Yes, it's a treasure hunt for talent. It's not that they're adding just a whole lot of capacity. And mm-hmm. there's an important point here, too. They either bring some special talent or Rolodex or something, particularly salespeople. The guys are hiring 1, 2, and 3 salespeople because they're the front end of growing the business.
Mm-hmm.
But even anybody you hire has to have what we call spare capacity. You want somebody who can do his job using 80% of
right headroom, plenty of headroom.
Not somebody who needs 100.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hiring people with spare capacity. But it's clear that the weather's changed, the opportunities are here, and if you're vigilant about not escalating back your costs, there are growth opportunities, which the boss ought to be figuring out. What
right.
kind do we need under what circumstances?
When we come back, we're going to talk about maybe accruing some benefits instead of deferring your gratification. Maybe accruing a little gratification after these messages with our good friend Stephen Baum. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.